Hey, how lucky can I be? Our guest now is Allison Haislip.
Yeah.
And if you want an introduction, forget it, because everybody knows who she is. Let's start out. You have done so many things on the internet.
I have. That makes it sound a little dirty, but yes.
what was your favorite thing?
Well, I would say my favorite project that I worked on was a show called Battleground. It was Hulu's first originally produced scripted show, and it was very much in the vein of like The Office. It's kind of like if you mashed up The Office and West Wing.
Was that on the internet?
Yep, it was on Hulu. It was their first kind of dive into making their own TV shows. And not only was it a great project to work on, but I really think it was something that was at the forefront of showing that you don't have to get your TV on TV all the time. You can get really great content online anytime you want it. And I kind of think that's where our industry is going these days.
Yeah.
You know, people are watching this show online right now.
I was just going to say, you're pretty much plugging our show.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She's advertising for us.
That's why we wanted the gal.
It's true.
Now, Battleground,
yes.
What was the battle all about?
Well, it's about about campaigning. So it was called Battleground because it took place in a battleground state during an election. We actually shot out in Wisconsin for 2 months. It was very cold.
Oh, my gosh. You gave your all for that show.
Yes, I ate a lot of cheese curds and drank a lot of beer, and it was very, very fun.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, so it was all about just politics and stuff like that.
Well, talk a little bit about, because you obviously were on Attack of the Show.
Yes.
For years. So
yes.
Going from TV to the internet, because it sort of seems like everyone's doing that now.
Yeah, and, you know, so many people are like, oh, why would you take a step back and go work on the internet?
Not,
and I'm like, it's not. I mean, if you walked
on... It's a step forward.
Exactly. If you walked on any of these sets, you'd think you were in an actual, like, movie film.
Well,
you know?
Let me give you an example. This very show,
yes.
Cocktails with Stan, the fact that this is on the internet has given the internet such prestige.
It's true,
and it
right.
has caused the internet to be considered the place to be. Obviously, we could have been anywhere with this show.
Yes,
any
of course.
Network.
Anyone.
Of course.
Yes.
So we've done a good thing, but let's get back to Allison. The one that I seem to remember was it called The Attack of the Show?
Attack of the Show, yeah, on G4.
Now, you did that for a while, and I think
years.
You gained a lot of fame.
Yeah.
And what was that all about, dear?
Well,
not that I don't know, but somewhere there might be someone who is longing for an explanation.
Well, you know, G4... has always stood for like a geek culture type of network. We focus on video games and comic books and great TV shows that we all know and love and that kind of stuff. And I honestly had never hosted a day before in my life before I worked on that show. I happened to be bartending literally about 5 minutes away from here. And I was wearing an old school Nintendo remote control necklace. And the guy who worked in development came into the bar and he sat at the bar and we started chatting and he noticed my necklace and he was like, why do you have that? And I was like, oh, I've played video games since I was 5. And he was like, but you're a girl. And I'm like,
but you're a girl.
Yeah, last time I checked. And so we kind of started chatting, and he was like talking to me about video games. And once he realized that I actually knew what I was talking about, he was like, you need to come in for an interview and be on our network. And I was like, okay, sure. And I went in and met with the network, and just, it was literally a 45-minute conversation of me talking about how I'm a massive nerd. I mean, just like delved into the fact that like I took philosophy of Tolkien in college, and like I went to space camp for 4 years and all this kind of stuff. And after that, they were like, well, yeah, let's test you out. And a couple weeks later, they tested me, and then they kind of started hiring me freelance. And before I knew it, I was like a regular on the show, and I had never done it before. I just kind of knew what I was talking about and winged it. So it all sort of worked out.
Well, you see how good she is. You've never done this interview show
before,
and yet I think she's doing very well.
Well, she interviews people for a living, and we actually met doing interviews.
Yes.
So,
So we'd better make sure we're good, because she's
probably
grading us in her mind.
She is. Well, I want to know if there's ever been somebody that you've interviewed that you've completely either gone completely starstruck about or you've completely nerded out over.
Present company accepted.
Exactly.
Except for Stan.
I'll be honest. Well, when I did get to sit down with Stan, earlier this year when we launched your website, it was like, oh my gosh, I get to spend 2 whole days with Stanley. let me think. I had always said that I thought that Johnny Depp might be the one who makes me starstruck, and I haven't interviewed him yet. I was supposed to for... Alice in Wonderland when that came out.
Yeah.
And it was just one of the, I mean, you know how these things go. Sometimes you show up to junkets and you sit there for 5 hours before you even get in. And it was one of those things. Like, we got there and they were so far behind that by the time it got to us, they were like, Johnny's not doing interviews anymore. And I was like, crushed on the inside. But it was probably for the best because he might have been one of the few rooms that I walked into and been like, hi.
I did one with him, and it was very difficult to speak,
I'm sure. Yeah. But then there's other people who are just, like, surprisingly lovely. Like, Kiefer Sutherland I interviewed a whole bunch of times, and he's just one of the nicest people I've ever talked to. And Jim Carrey, too.
Yeah.
Was shocked at how great of a conversation I had with him.
Most guys are nice. You know, even Johnny Depp, whom I've met a few times.
Of course you have.
When I first met him. No, I mean, he couldn't have been nicer, you know.
I'm sure he is.
In fact, I introduced Aerosmith at the Hollywood Bowl. I don't mean
That's
I introduced
amazing.
Them
Dan,
to
you're
each
so
other.
Cool.
I know.
But they were having a concert, and they asked if I would introduce them. So while I was because I'm such a great musician, I was backstage waiting, Johnny Depp walked in.
Oh, my gosh.
So we talked for a while, and, you know, just a nice guy. And then I was surprised at one of the acts, the end act, Johnny Depp had a guitar and he played with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
I didn't know he played.
He's a musician,
so
too.
So that was very impressive. Shows how far behind I am. I didn't even know he played.
I might have passed out if I was there.
I may have been right there with
you. I never understand that, like, Beatlemania kind of stuff or, like, how people go crazy over Bieber, but, like, that moment might have been the moment where I, like, lose all the oxygen to my brain.
Yeah, I just can't believe that you hang out with Aerosmith.
I know.
I hung out with a couple of the Beatles.
Oh, my God.
But they don't impress you.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Yes, they do.
I got to be within a 10-foot radius of Sir Paul McCartney earlier this year, and I was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
I'll tell you a fair story about McCartney. Yeah. I won't tell you the whole thing, but I had to go visit him in London once. So
you
I
had
went
to.
Well, no, he called. We'll do that in our next interview.
All
there's
right.
a whole story behind it. But it's your interview, not mine. I just want to say, I went to where he lived, and there was a big gate. I opened up the gate, and in the courtyard was a big Rolls Royce and a little Morris Minor. And all I could think of, it looked like the Rolls Royce had a baby. And I started laughing, and then they opened the door, and we talked about it. That's the end of my story. Now let's get back
You're
to
so
you.
You're so rich you can impregnate cars.
Well, tell me a little bit about 4 Points.
Ah, so that's the show, that's my interview show.
At a go.
On the Nerdist channel, you know, so Chris Hardwick has his whole Nerdist industry. I now refer to him as the Ryan Seacrest of nerds, because it's like,
he
what
is.
Doesn't he do? So he has his own YouTube channel called The Nerdist, and I host 4 Points with my buddy Alex Albrecht, and it's Alex and myself. I just stuck my finger in my drink.
Anybody got a Band-Aid? Stop the show.
Nope, it's fine, just drinking it off. So it's Alex and myself, and then we have a Nerdist chair, which is someone else from another Nerdist show sits there, and then we have our, you know, celebrity guest for the week. So in this case, it would be me, but, you know. It's great. We've had on Zach Levi and Jason Ritter, and, like, it's been, like, a really fun group of people that we've brought on. And then we sit there and we just talk about 4 different topics that are kind of involved in the nerd geek world. Just something that we think it's cool
like
to talk
I'm
about.
Like I'm trying to do
yeah,
it. I'm trying to learn from you how to do it.
Right. Well, we've talked about like that guy who got stranded in the desert somewhere, so he built a motorcycle out of his broken down car. Like Mad Max style and drove off or something like that. We talk about that kind of ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
And we have drinks while we do it and it's just fun and laid back and it's very chill. It's been a good time.
Isn't it funny the way the word nerd
nerd
seems to have, it's changing its meaning. Becoming a nerd is something almost desirable. I shouldn't say almost. I mean, if you're a nerd, it means you're into the internet, you're into computers, you're into everything that's going on today.
Comic books.
Comic books, of course. I think anybody who isn't a nerd better be damn ashamed of yourself.
Oh,
you know, get with
you're the ones getting stuffed in lockers now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I think it's also because technology has just become so much fun to play with.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, and comic books, well, you're the reason I'm a nerd. You realize that, right?
Oh.
I never thought of myself as a nerd. I thought of myself as an author of these wondrous tales.
Right.
That I was bestowing upon mankind. But now I haven't written comics for quite a while. we have a new show called POW, a new company rather, POW Entertainment.
Right.
And you obviously know what POW stands for. But for those who don't, it stands for Purveyors of Wonder.
Yes.
And we're working on movies and TV and all of that, and on the internet. And here we are. This is one of POW's involvement.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here, because if you weren't talking so beautifully, they'd have to listen to me ramble on, and you wouldn't even be able to help. So what's the next? We have a question for this gorgeous young lady.
Yeah, well, I want to know how you got into nerdy things.
You know,
I want to know, too. I don't want you to think she's the only one.
No.
We are both fascinated. Tell.
Honestly, both my parents are huge geeks, and I hope they don't mind me saying that, but like...
Oh, wait a minute. Is geek synonymous with nerd?
It can be. I think if you're... I think you can be a geek without being a nerd, because like you can be a geek about like bikes and stuff like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's very clever of you. You're right. You could be a geek about anything, but a nerd, we know where they come from.
Yeah. Go. But both my parents met in marching band in college, so they were super cool, obviously. And they're both like massive Trekkies, and my mom was way into Lord of the Rings. She actually studied it when she was in school as well. So when I was growing up, she gave me her old copy of the Lord of the Rings books, and it had all her pencil written notes in there.
I have the same thing for my dad, the Silmarillion.
Oh my God! Yes, I read the Silmarillion too. How many people read the Silmarillion?
Very few.
Yeah, exactly.
Not enough.
I know. So, you know, just kind of living in that, growing up, I did not know that what I was doing was sort of outcasty or whatever. It was just how I learned to live very young.
It was natural for you.
Yeah, exactly. It was basically, I think, when I got to high school and was going to space camp and my friends were like, you're doing what? That was when I sort of realized that, like, maybe I was on the outskirts a little.
Well, what was space camp like?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. First off, it is nothing like the movie. People always ask me two questions when they find out I went to space camp. One, is it like the movie? And I'm like, no, we did not accidentally get shot into space by a robot friend.
Good.
And then the second question they ask me is, did I get to go in an anti-gravity chamber? And that's where I'm like, there's no such thing. You know, Armageddon was just a movie. There's no such thing as an anti-gravity chamber.
You should have said yes, and I would have lied. I would have made it sound so interesting.
There is the vomit comet, you know, that plane that does the parabola, and you get 13 seconds of weightlessness at the top of it or something like that, but there's no actual building you can walk into and they flip a switch and the gravity is off.
I've written stories where there are such
buildings. Of course, that's why people think they exist. You know what we do? I was trained to scuba dive, and they have a huge dive tank there because that's how they train actual astronauts to work in zero Gs, is they train them underwater.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's almost the same feeling when you're underwater.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
That's really cool.
That's the
cool.
closest thing to zero gravity.
Yeah. By the way, I am shocked that I just taught Stan Lee something. That this could be a crowning achievement in my life.
You wouldn't believe how much I don't know. You know, I am the least technical person in the world.
Really?
So when I wrote stories, I just made things up. Like the Hulk was created due to a gamma bomb explosion. Right. I don't know what a gamma bomb is, but it sounds... And the Fantastic Four, they were hit by cosmic ray. I wouldn't know a cosmic ray if it was here in front of me, but it sounded good. And everybody thought, boy, that's Stan. He knows his science.
Right.
Cosmic rays, gamma...
You're like Isaac Asimov.
I'm the biggest phony you ever...
No, but now people are trying to invent things that, like, you know, invisibility cloaks. We pretty much have that now because of things that were written in comic books.
In a sense, you're right, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So why don't they send me money?
They really should. They really should, and now I have to get a cut of it.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's right.
So what video game did you start with?
Oh, did I start with? Well, my parents had an Atari 2600 before I was born, so as soon as I figured out how to, like, move a stick and push buttons, I was playing that. I played combat a lot on that, although I called it tanks, because I didn't realize it was called combat.
It was just the tanks.
You didn't know what it was called.
No, I was like 5 when I played this game. I just called it tanks, because tanks shot at each other. And there happened to be planes in the game, too, but the planes were part of tanks to me, you know? This is the best. The Atari was hooked up to a black and white TV in my basement, so that's where I would play all the time. And one Christmas, we brought the Atari to my grandparents' place, where we were spending the holidays, and they hooked it up to their color TV. And my mind was blown, because I honestly thought that all Atari games were in black and white. I did not realize that they could be in, like, 3 colors as well. That was the first time I was like, oh, the tanks are pink and green.
Okay, well, here's a question.
Before you get to that question, I want you to do me a favor.
Yes.
next time we invite our guests, would you try to get somebody with a little enthusiasm? Somebody who likes to talk about what you... And, I mean, you sit here and you listen to these people who can't make one word follow another. And no, you are really just incredible. I can listen to you all day. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, it's quite all right. Well, since we're drinking cocktails, cheers,
yes,
by the way.
Oh, cheers.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to know what video games you play while drinking.
All of them. let me think. Most recently, I just finished Quantum Conundrum, which is a downloadable game on Xbox Live, and that was super fun. I played, I think I drank a lot of beers while playing Portal 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. When I was in college, actually, every Sunday night, I used to get together. I was like, I was a freshman, and I would get together with a bunch of senior guys, and we would play GoldenEye. We had like a GoldenEye club that we'd play every Sunday night. And, you know, all my friends were like, why are you hanging out with all those guys? I'm like, because we play video games.
Yeah.
Like, I run around and I shoot them with a golden gun. It's awesome.
Well, you were a girl.
Yes.
And they were guys.
Yes, yes.
And somebody
yes.
said, why are you hanging out with them?
Well, it was more like, why is a freshman girl hanging out with senior guys if it's not, like, sketchy? And I was like, no, I literally just sit there and play video games.
For me, it was Dungeons and Dragons. But
oh, yeah.
Same thing. I totally understand.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions for the kid?
Yeah, I do have one final question. If you were going to play would you play a superhero or a supervillain?
Superhero, definitely.
Superhero.
I'm no good at being a bad guy.
No?
No. I mean...
This girl is a good guy from head to toe.
Yeah.
See, I'm always supervillain.
Really? That's awesome.
He doesn't understand, right?
If I was a supervillain, though, I'd have to be like Megamind, like a funny supervillain,
yeah.
You know?
I always wanted to be Dr. Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was the king of his own country. And when he came here, he could commit a crime. And he had diplomatic immunity.
Oh.
So that's kind of...
That's a superpower in and of itself.
It totally is.
So, but my tastes are kind of peculiar. And I liked his name, Dr. Doom.
I just like how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything is how you say it.
Yeah.
On that note, cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, we through soon. There's a
Wait,
lot of
Wait, I have
others.
One more thing.
Oh, okay.
All right, go ahead.
So earlier this year, I helped you launch your website. And we did that great interview together. When I was blonde. And it happened to be the week of my birthday. And you gave me this beautiful bouquet of flowers, and you gave me a Spider-Man fruit basket, which was the coolest thing I've ever gotten. But I will have you know that my birthday card that you gave me to the birthday girl, I carried around in my wallet with me because I'm so excited that it says Happy Birthday Allison Stan on it.
Oh,
I carry this with me everywhere, Stan, just so I can prove to people that you gave me a birthday card.
That is so sweet. I'm so glad
I did.
I
had to show it to you that I still had it
all
these
months
later.
And it's almost your birthday.
It's almost your birthday. I know. So now I have to get you a really good birthday present.
Yeah, better get a good one.
Spider-Man fruit basket.
I was just going to say, how do you beat Spider-Man fruit basket?
Hey, what a great way to end. And may I say, in leaving, Excelsior!
Oh, that was so
Thank
cool.
you.
Thank you.
Hey, you're wonderful.
You're wonderful.
Well, we know that.